The war in Iraq has journalists and politicians struggling to pronounce a new set of place names and even disagreeing over the pronunciation of familiar ones. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg points out that what they come up with is sometimes a sign of something else.
For a lot of its critics, the administration's miscalculations in its Mideast policy are summed up in a single pronunciation, Iraq. In the New York Times a couple of days ago, Nicholas Kristof wrote that Arabs flinch each time American officials torture pronunciations of the names of Iraqi cities, and worse, the country itself. But if people in Amman, Cairo, and Riyadh are flinching as they watch the TV news nowadays, I doubt if it has much to do with the way American politicians and journalists are struggling with the intricacies of Arabic phonology, no more than the current wave of anti-French feeling owes anything to Jacques Chirac's pronunciation of our president's first name as Georges. Anyway, however hard Americans try to approximate the pronunciations of Arabic names, what comes out of our mouths is going to be pretty remote from the real thing to Arab ears. If you were really going to get the name of the country right, you'd say something like Iraq, with that guttural K that doesn't have any English equivalent. And you'd start it with an ayn, an H-like sound that's pronounced even farther back in the throat. I've had two Arabic linguists trying to give me tutelage in that sound, but I'm not to the point of being able to reproduce it on the radio. Baghdad, Kurbele, Basra. That's what Arabic speakers tell me, but it's a fool's errand for Americans to try to do those names justice. The prudent course is to make a yeoman effort at approximating foreign names with the limited phonetic resources that English makes available. Going further than that is almost always a sign of dubious ulterior motives. There are those Spanish pronunciations that are supposed to show solidarity with the locals, like Nicaragua and Colombia. Or there are the sprezzatura pronunciations of the classical music announcers, who linger on the double T of Pavarotti and the TH sound of Plácido Domingo. And then there are the trench coat pronunciations that you hear from journalists who want to intimate that they've been on the ground for a long time. I think of the way Daniel Schorr used to talk about Mikhail Gorbachev, with the easy familiarity of an old Kremlin hand. There's a hint of this in the way journalists have taken up saying gutter for the country that the uninitiated refer to as Qatar. Actually, it isn't at all clear that the locals would recognize the journalist gutter as a version of what they pronounce as something like Qatar. But then, these attempts at phonetic correctness are really intended for domestic consumption. And there's a domestic flavor to those criticisms of the pronunciation Iraq, too. A lot of people see it as a symptom of redneck ignorance. Columnists have suggested that it's somehow tied to Americans' general fuzziness about geographical detail and our insensitivity to the complexities of world politics. But the idea that Iraq is incorrect is mostly a sign of our own linguistic prejudices. The pronunciation really has two things working against it. The first syllable fits in with that pattern of saying certain foreign words with a long vowel, not just Iraq and Iran, but words like Arab and Italian, pronunciations that educated people tend to associate with blue state yahoos. And then there's the flat, fronted vowel of the second syllable, rack instead of rock. That runs afoul of the principle that the letter A in foreign names should always be pronounced as A. That has become an article of faith among well-traveled Americans, to the point where the time-honored English name Milan has been replaced by the pretentious parvenus Milan and Milano. Hearing people ridicule ordinary Americans who say Iraq can be like listening to American expatriates sneering at the tourists in line at the Louvre or the Colosseum. But it's something else again when you hear that Iraq pronunciation coming from administration officials who don't come by it natively. In their mouths, it sounds a faux bubba note, as if to tweak all those fastidious internationalists, we can go it alone phonetically, too. It's gotten to the point where you can tell people's position on the role the UN should play in the reconstruction of Iraq just by listening to the way they say the name. For the time being, Iraq would seem to be the more judicious pronunciation, at least until we're certain that when the dust clears, we won't need any help in writing the gazetteers for this part of the world. But I'm not really bothered hearing journalists and politicians make a hash out of those other exotic Arabic place names. I've been listening occasionally to French news broadcasts over the internet, and their announcers do a much better job with Arabic names than ours do, no doubt because the French have a couple of hundred years of being embedded in the Arabic-speaking world. It's an impressive phonetic accomplishment, but not an enviable one.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the author of the book, The Way We Talk Now.